time to feel the rush of the round table live on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Here we go. The round table begins for this Thursday, the 22nd of July, brought to you by Burke Financial, offering homeowners personalized mortgage solutions for approvals in as little as an hour. And fast funding, visit burkefinancial.ca, brokerage license number 13111. Joining us, diversity and inclusion consultant with the Diversity Agency, it's Andrea Barrett. Welcome back.
Hello, good afternoon.
And a good afternoon to you too. John Torrey Jr. is here, aviation expert and pal of the program. How are you, John?
Hey, I'm doing great, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you both for being here.
Great.
We seem to have an issue with Deb's mic. If we want to turn that one back on, do we have her now? Deb, want to start again?
I will.
Okay, go ahead.
Hi, guys.
Hi, hey, Deb.
Either of you have a memory of where you were when this happened, or how you felt when you heard about it?
I was trying to remember. I cannot remember where I was because it just feels like it was so many lifetimes ago. I just remember stopping, like being stopped sort of emotionally and physically, and just going, okay, that, you know, that's happened, and just starting to process how just terrible, tragic it was. Tragic, you know, and the news just felt like it was getting worse as every hour went by.
And of course, we are referring to the Danforth shooting, and it's hard to believe that it's been already 3 years. Two people died, 13 other people injured. And, you know, Andrea, this is an area of town that I'm super familiar with. So even when I'm there now, it seems a little bit eerie.
I know. I don't remember where I was exactly when this happened, but I remember the next day feeling awful, watching all the footage. And I remember feeling really sad about the deaths. And I remember a couple. There was I think a boyfriend and girlfriend, they were at a cafe. The woman was a nurse. Them leaving, she getting shot in the back, she ending up being paralyzed. And I remembered that because I thought she was trying to help. She was going out there to help other people, and she got shot. And I'm quite familiar with the Danforth. I love going to Taste of the Danforth, love supporting the businesses and the restaurants and the shopping. Just felt really, really sad that this, you know, was so close to home and that it was such a tragic event.
This is a story we did earlier this afternoon, and a lot of reaction at 7:10:10 about a woman who was briefly a Liberal candidate in a Nova Scotia by-election. And she says in a social media post that despite the fact that I was told to leave, citing my own mental health concerns, that wasn't actually the reason that I dropped out. Now, previous to her being part of this election, as I back this up a bit, was she was very upfront with the Liberal Party about revealing photos that she had posted in the past and that she says she had disclosed to the party. Now, it was a Saturday, and they actually told her the next day that she was going to have to she said that she was going to have to back out of the election, and it was the party that then told her that she had to do it because of supposed mental health conditions. She did do that, but now she's backtracking and saying, I can't believe that I actually said that. I'm ashamed that I did, and it's not my job to make old white guys feel more comfortable. So this is a young woman who really wanted to be in politics. Andrea, I'll start with you. And, you know, I don't know what's worse, the fact that she was, you know, so upfront about it and they let her run, or the fact that they asked her to lie, her words, that they asked her to lie about why she was leaving the race.
Both issues I have a problem with. We can't use mental health as a scapegoat or use that for a reason that is not legitimate. They vetted her. They knew that she took these pictures and that she posted them online. They knew this. They vetted her and they accepted her as a candidate. So I think it's very disappointing and not very high in integrity that they're asking her to step down and never use mental health as an excuse. We can't do that.
John?
Yep. And, you know, it's never the crime, it's always the cover up. And in this case, I'm talking about what the party did down there. As Andrea said, they vetted her, they accepted her, warts and all. And I'm using that in air quotes because, you know, however she decided to make her money, it sounds like it was legal, it was above board. She probably paid taxes on that income. And, you know, and her business was destroyed by the COVID pandemic. And then the party turned around because they sort of probably foresaw difficult days when this information came out and they decided they weren't comfortable with that and then tried to fly a that cover story. And of course, in today's world of direct communication with your electorate, with your supporters, with your audiences, you know that it's like it's a matter of hours until the truth comes out, not days. They didn't even get through the election with it. So I think it was a case of this young woman getting pushed around, and she had had the courage to put her name forward and seek a nomination. And I hope that things work out well for her.
So last week, Seneca College announced that all students and staff would need to have proof of full vaccination in order to be on campus. Today, we've heard a slightly different story from U of T. They had previously put out statements saying that if you're living in residence, you had to be fully vaxxed. But if you want to attend class and be on campus but not live in residence, you don't have to be. Who's right? Who's wrong? And is there an issue here, Andrea, about the fact that we have different institutions in our province doing different things?
I think there is an issue here because there is no clear guidelines about what post-secondary institutions are supposed to be doing. Everyone's going to make up their own rules. Right now, from preschoolers up to postgrads, it's so important that we get everyone back to school. We need to be able to find a way to get people back in classroom. As long as the institutions are following all the health guidelines, people are wearing their masks, they're sitting, you know, far enough from each other where they can facilitate a great learning experience, I'm for getting everyone back to school safely.
John, do we need some consistency here, or is it fine for each individual institution to do its own thing?
I think in order in places like higher education institutions, there should be one rule and it should be the highest standard. Same with healthcare facilities, same with public schools, you know, and elementary and grade and high schools, there should be one rule. We have to remember that the priority here isn't about our comfort, although getting back to class, in-class learning is a priority, but the ultimate priority is protecting human life and protecting the healthcare system. And we need to do everything we can to ensure that every eligible and able person is vaccinated, because there are a lot of people who can't be vaccinated. Well, I'd say a lot, like probably hundreds of thousands who can't be vaccinated for medical or other reasons. And we need to protect them too, because they still want to go to school and go to their jobs and do normal things. So yeah, we need more rules. It needs to be tighter. And I support mandatory vaccination where able.
Robin Williams' son was posting on Instagram earlier this week about what would have been his dad's 74th birthday and how much he had missed him. And it got us thinking about how when someone like Robin Williams passes, the family and the rest of us have such an incredible body of work to remember that person by, even though it's not the same as the personal mementos that you would have. So we were asking people today, do you have something that, you know, you have that's sort of out of the norm that you remember something by and somebody by, like not the normal photos or videotapes or something like that. But not going to lie, we were completely a mess today when we talked to Anthony and Steve.
Hey, guys. Well, ladies, too.
Thank you.
My mom's been gone for, 13 years now. She used to make a dish over the holidays called olibola, which was basically like a dough ball with currants or raisins in it. It's a Dutch thing. My wife has offered periodically to make it as a special treat, and I keep telling her I don't want her to because I don't want to lose the memory of what my mom's tasted like.
Yeah, I get that.
So, yeah, I'm losing it here.
It's okay, but it's okay.
Because it was the first to my phone. So when my nieces and my nephew call me, they call that number because it was. Yeah, pictures, no issue. My mother passed away. I haven't erased them, but I can't watch a video of her. The minute I hear her voice, it just completely breaks me. And I've even gone to the extent to keep her number, her telephone number, active.
Wow.
And I have it forwarded to my phone. So when my nieces and my nephew call me, they call that number because it was the first number they learned to dial when they were kids. And the name still comes up on my phone, Mom.
Yeah, you know what, Andrea? We probably could have done the whole show on that today. Just everybody. And it's a real testament, I think, to what a deep impact the people that we have lost have on us, that we still remember them and we can still get emotional just thinking about them.
I know, after such a period of time. So my father passed away in March, which isn't too long ago. And I have a video recording of him singing happy birthday to me. I don't know why it happened. It just happened. So now when my birthday comes up this year, I'm going to play that. And I'm going to play that for every birthday that I celebrate for the rest of my life, because my dad will always be singing happy birthday to me.
That's amazing.
John?
Yeah, it's funny because I'm not normally like a material person in terms of things, but I wear a ring that my dad's dad gave to me, like a family ring. And basically whenever I look at it, including on this call, I think about him. And I have a poem that hangs on a wall that's taken down right now, but it would normally be on the wall that my mom's dad gave me. And they're the only two of my grandparents. And then the oldest thing I actually carry around is a pair of Canadian $2 bills. That it's the most obscure thing. There was nothing special to them, but my great grandfather gave them to me like way back when I was 15 or 16, just as change for something. And I put them in my wallet, and then over time they've just stayed there, and they're still in my wallet today, and they just go around with me everywhere. And anytime I have to pull out my driver's license, they're in that sort of pouch. It just makes me, it makes me think of him. And so
Wow. Yeah,
I do have those moments every now and then.
Jay's right. We could have done the whole show on this today. That's
keep it together. Keep it together, Deb.
Exactly. So there's a woman from, I think, Arizona, and she's a comedian, does a lot of TikTok videos. Here's a clip from her most recent one.
Yeah, this is really, really interesting. Check this out.
After 20 years together, my husband still can't remember what I like on my pizza, or what size shoe I wear, or the names of some of my family members. I mean, it's kind of a big family, but that doesn't mean he doesn't love me. He does lots of things to show me that he loves me. It just means that his brain doesn't work that way. So let's help him out instead of being bitchy about it. Time to make a book.
I decided to call it Know Your Effing Wife. All the information you need to make decisions without asking your wife the same effing questions forever and ever and ever.
And because I'm his effing wife, all the categories in the book start with the letter F.
Subtle.
So, John, could you use this guide to help you?
I feel like it would just be another thing I would then get in trouble for not following. So I'm probably better. It's just like one more landmine in the field, but it's the big one that sets off the others.
Oh, and God, it's funny.
I'm not the best gift giver, but I have a fairly decent memory about general stuff. I'm more the need to be reminded every 6 months to do basic household chores.
That is
but
funny.
You think you know your wife fairly well. You don't need the book.
I know that silence is definitely the better choice here. So,
Coward!
Andrew, would you ever do this? Do you think there's a need?
I do. I think this is a great idea. Damn, I wish I had thought about this. Page one, birthday. Make sure everyone knows the birthday. I love that she puts a cutout of her foot in there so that if your partner, significant other, wants to buy you some shoes, I think that's great. And I love that she said his memory can stay free for important things like sports scores and Jeep parts. I think this is so funny.
Yeah, I think you're thinking that too, Deb. It comes across in a lot in a relationship where you're like, how can you remember that stuff? But you can't remember when our anniversary is. Or my birthday. Andrea and John.
Jay,
go ahead, John.
You know what they say is the best way to remember your wife's birthday? It's to forget it once. And I'll just leave you with that.
It's also the best way to never have to change a diaper. Just do it horribly the very first time. John, Andrea.
Tactical incompetence.
We thank you both so much. Have a wonderful night.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Deb, you and I are back again for the Friday show, kicking it into the weekend. We start tomorrow at 2.
We'll try to make it a little less emotional.
Yeah.
A little bit of fewer lows,
tomorrow,
more highs, maybe.
If we're going to cry, let's cry in the last half hour of the show instead of like one of the first. It's just emotionally draining.
Okay.
Okay, you have a wonderful night.
You too, Jay.
Our thanks to Drew. Good to have you back, buddy. My thanks to Mike as well. Best to you in your future endeavors. All the best to our pal Donnie as well. Our best to you. We hope you have a wonderful evening. Your CTV Evening News is next.